Could you please state your name and age?
Rudolph Forte. My age is 85 years old.
Where were you born?
Portchester, New York.
Is that where you also grew up?
What?
Where did you grow up?
Portchester.
Okay. When and how did you first learn about the war?
On the radio. We heard the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor, December 7th.
What was the first event in the conflict that you heard about?
The what?
What was the first event in the conflict you heard about? Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, Pearl Harbor. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor.
And how did you get into the service?
I enlisted in the Army Air Corps. Oh, I thought you'd go over there.
What made you enter that branch of service?
Huh?
What made you enter the Army?
I always liked airplanes.
What was your unit's name and designation?
My unit? Well, at the time, it was Air Transport Command.
Okay. Where did you report for duty?
When? I mean, I was in 5 years.
Okay. Well, where did you first report for duty?
Right in New York, I went to Camp Upton for basic training, where they just take you and sign you up, and they sent you to Miami Beach for basic training, where it's warm and sunny, and they gave us uniforms, you know, the shots and all that. They made soldiers out of us. It's called basic training.
Was there any specialty, such as weapons or specific skill that you had during the war?
None.
Okay. And what country or which countries did you serve?
Well, the main country that I served was called the CBI, China, Burma, India. And that was called the Forgotten War. Magazines I saved. You've been drinking again? I got more of these. I had them for years. Look at the date on them, 1970. I'm just going through the box. You know, you're looking at things that are 60 years old.
Right, yeah, I see. 1959.
Huh?
I said, yeah, there's one from June 1959.
It's just a magazine they came out with for the Chinese and, you know, CBI veterans. The CBI was known as the Forgotten War because China was over here and the Japanese are on the eastern coast, where the ocean was. The rest was all open. And next to this part, the western part of China, which was nothing but mountains and valleys and all that, was Burma, and after that was India. Now the Japanese wanted to cut the Burma Road, which supplied China through Burma into India with supplies. If they broke that road, China would collapse, you know what I mean? So they did break the road. So the Army Air Corps said, okay, we will fly supplies to China and Burma and India by air, since the road is closed. So that's what we did. We used to call flying the hump, H-U-M-P, which was the Himalaya Mountains, which was very dangerous. When you went down, you just don't come back anymore. And that's it.
Approximately how long were you in China, Burma, India, the Darius?
Long what?
How long were you in China, Burma, India at a time or all together?
Around 2 years, something like that. I don't know. Something like that. You see, this shows you. This is all leftover stuff. Yeah. Can't even get it. It's so packed in. This is from the Chinese committee. They call them governments called committees. And this was sewed in the back of my A2 jacket.
Okay.
And this is what that says.
Okay. Okay, so it translates to say, American pilot who helps us defeat Japanese. Please help him when he needs assistance.
In case we bailed out or something. Right. And underneath that was the American flag sewed on my jacket. And that's and we also had the insignias. That's a CBI insignia. If you want anything, you just tell me. I'm just,
right.
You know.
Huh? Yeah,
Rudolph
40
entry. That was on my A2 jacket.
Mm-hmm.
This is, see, you're bringing back memories now.
Okay.
This used to be put away nice, but...
Look at you, strapping young man in your uniform.
Huh?
I said, look at you, strapping in your uniform.
That's when I first started. Now look at me today.
What medal are you holding in the picture? What medal are you holding in the picture?
I think that was the Air Medal.
Okay.
That was in India. That was in Sukhothai, India. That was the name of the base.
Okay.
That was good looking.
Very nice.
Yeah. Where's the other one?
No, I haven't.
I mean, you want it or something, or I'm just...
Yeah, no, sorry. I put it down.
But like I said, I opened the box and Robert was throwing things in it and just got heavier. Any more questions? Or
yes.
You...
No, I have some more. What do you recall about the civilians you encountered there?
Very, very few civilians. The Chinese were all like coolies, thousands of them. They would build the runways and everything by hand. I mean, they would actually swarm all over the base. The airfield was nothing but like a valley between two mountains, and it was all crushed rock. There was no finished runways like you see in the movies, like in England. So everything was homemade, and the Chinese did it themselves. They broke everything and landscaped everything. It was very difficult for everybody. It was archaic. It was old. We had no supplies because it wasn't a high priority. The first priority was like England, then the Pacific, then Africa, and CBI was last. So that was it.
What did your rations consist of?
My rations?
Yeah. Any war rations you had?
Very poor. Like I said, food wasn't a priority on the airplane because it had to come from India to wherever we were. And the biggest priority was flying gasoline in 55-gallon drums or ammunition or pipes so they could build, you know, in addition to the what do you call it, the Burma Road and all that. It was all for maintenance. And believe me, food was not a priority. We would go into the mess hall, which was very small, just for flying status personnel, and the food was very limited. And we accepted it. You can see how skinny I was. Yeah.
What were your holidays like while overseas?
Holidays?
Yeah.
Didn't
None.
Exist. There was no such thing as a holiday.
Okay. When did you first encounter the enemy?
The enemy. As soon as I landed in Karachi, India, the first day, we got bombed. And what annoyed me, they bombed me when it's time to eat. We had to run to the slit trenches, you know. And that's it. That was the beginning.
Were you involved in combat?
Of course. Every day. Either, you know, flying, which was very hazardous, the airplane, the weather conditions, or the Japanese would bomb or strafe us on the runways or try to catch us in the air.
What commanders did you serve under?
What?
Commanders did you serve under?
Yeah. It's a good question. General Chenault, General Chiang Kai-shek, he was Chinese. And some Brigadier Merrill's from Merrill's Marauders. We air supplied them. And we also supplied the 20th Brahm Group in China, and that was General Li Mei. We worked under them at the mission. Whatever the mission was, we knew what their rules were. See, the people were not aware of it. It was a top secret. The B-29, which is a long-range bomber, was stationed in India. But to go to Japan, it was so long a range that they would go from Japan to Chengdu, China. There were 7 air bases there. They would load up with gas again, take off, go bomb Japan, then come back to Chengdu, then from there load up with gas again and go back to India, their home base, because they couldn't stay on the ground in China. The Japanese would strafe them immediately. So one of our jobs was to fly to Chengdu from India, which was like a 7-hour hop practically. We loaded with gasoline. They would take the gasoline off our airplane, put it on the ground, then load it in the B-29s. We would turn around and take off immediately to go back to India. It wasn't easy.
How did you prepare yourself mentally for dangerous situations?
You just did it. You worried, and you had to put the worry out of your mind. But fear is good because it makes you like a boxer, very cautious. If you're not cautious, you get knocked out by accident. But by having fear, you're very careful. You don't want to make mistakes.
How was your return to peacetime America?
Well, it wasn't easy because we came back to a country that had no industry, no nothing. You know, we came back to nothing. You know, here you got like 30, 40 million men coming back to a country that was still producing military equipment where they had to stop. So that means there was no jobs, no nothing. In fact, we had to go on food stamps for our family because it was still rationing. And they wouldn't give you the food that you were supposed to get unless you had the stamp. So they gave me a stamp. They gave us all a stamp.
How often do you think about your wartime experiences, both positive and negative?
You think a lot of them now with age, you know, because you have time on your hand. And what you really do is think of the mistakes you made, saying, why did I do this or why did I do that? And that's about it.
How do you think the war changed you?
Well, I went in a boy, you know, 17, 18 years old, and I came out a man. Very simple. You know, they teach you a trade, how to fly and all that. They also teach you kill or be killed. It's not easy. And you learn to survive and staying on your 2 feet. That was it.
This is the end of the interview questions, but was there anything else you'd like to add for a World War II historian to know about?
No. War is no good. Nobody wins a war. Many, many of my friends are not here anymore, and you ask yourself why. You know, and it's not worth it. We did defeat the enemy, but it should never happen again. Wars are no good. Nobody wins a war. And that's it.